spoke a little bit about the Nisgarim part of Purim. So we'll move on to Vayom El Nisgarim and Asim. So the Asiyas Hayom basically refers to all the other mitzvahs Hayom. So let's begin with the primary mitzvah, that's the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. So the Gemara tells us in the first Pech Masechas Megillah, one is obligated to have a special Suda on Purim. Lastas or somebody be mishti b'simchos, so the Gemara derives from here the Zechi of Gomer to have a Suda. So what does the suit have to be made up of? So it's unclear in the Gemara exactly. Is there any particular menu that's necessary for this suda? So the Rambam, Menuchas Purim, when he describes Ketzer Chavis Sudazu, when he describes what has to be at the meal, so the Rambam describes Bosa V'yayin. So why should that be so? Why should the Halacha require Bosa V'yayin? So this is probably the Rambam understood that Sudas Purim is modeled after Sudas Yomtif, because if the Megillah says, last time you made Mishta V'simcha, so the Yom Simcha requires a suda. That's a similar notion. We have a yomtiv. So just as by yomtiv, the Rambam holds that a suda's yomtiv requires basa v'yayin, that's probably why a suda's purim requires basa v'yayin as well. How in the world did the Rambam know that a suda's yomtiv requires basa v'yayin? So that's also very unclear. So the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Pesachim that the mitzvah of suda's yomtiv changed from the time of the Beis HaMikdash to Mizban Hazeh. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, so suda's yomtiv had to be performed through Achilas Pesach Shlomim. As the Pasuk says, in a little bit of a different context, is a vachta, shlomim v'yachalta shom v'samach v'fnei Hashem l'kecha. So the Torah always speaks about the celebration, the manifestation of simcha, is always to achilas b'sa shlomim. The Gemara says, b'zman shem v'samigdash ha'kayim, ein simcha ela b'achilas b'sa shlomim. What about b'zman hazeh? So the Gemara says, b'zman hazeh, we don't have b'sa shlomim, so anoshim b'royla v'anoshim b'royla had. That men do what they enjoy, and women do what they enjoy. So men enjoy yayin, the Gemara says, and women enjoy nice clothing, big day tzivonim, and kids enjoy kloyos, ve'agoyzen, with candies and stuff, nashes, snacks, things like that. So the Gemara says clearly that b'zman hazeh, the way to fulfill the mitzvah sukkos yotzeh is dafka through yayin. There is a machlokes tais in the Rambam, is that a mitzvah derais or mitzvah derabbanan? Tais is sheet and makot nafidal it is that the entire mitzvah of sukkos yotzeh from the Torah only can be fulfilled through b'sar shlomim. Bizman hazeh, we have a makeup, we have just a simcha midrabbanan. But the Rambam is clearly not the way the Rambam nechus yotzeh holds that yesh b'chal simcha zo, that the ikar simcha is bizman hamikdash. Bizman hazeh, we do have a simcha, it's a kim of simcha deraisa, and it requires yayin. So where did the Rambam get bosa from? The Rambam doesn't say bosa. So the Rambam apparently understood that when the Gemara says that bizman hamikdash was b'sar shlomim, and bizman hazeh is yayin, what the Gemara meant was, is that it's yayin in addition to bosa. I mean, you have, the fact that you have to have bosa, that's like a given. So bizman hamikdash was b'sar shlomim. Bizman hazeh, of course it's bosa. That was like, nothing to discuss. Of course, that's self-evident, says the Rambam, that you require bosa for simchas yomtiv. In addition to the bosa, you also require yayin. So the Beis Yosef disagrees with the Rambam. The Beis Yosef says he doesn't know what the mokh of the Rambam is. The Beis Yosef says that bizman hazeh, the mitzvah is only yayin. That's it. That's what in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Yomtiv, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote chiyuv of bosa on yomtiv. The Magen Avraham, Mishabut, later post can say ayin the Rambam, but the Rambam did have it. So that's a question. So that's probably what the Rambam is driving at in Hilchos Purim when he writes Ketzer Chayv Suda Zu. How do you know what you have to eat at the Purim Suda? So it's just midrabbanan. It was just mimicked after Simchas Yomtiv. So you require bosa v'yayin. According to that, it should come out that according to the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Yomtiv, who says there is no chiyuv to eat bosa to fulfill Simchas Yomtiv, so the Shulchan Aruch should hold l'shitaso that there's no chiyuv to eat bosa at the Purim Suda either. But that's not true. The Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Purim Taka writes that you have to have bosa at the Purim Suda. So it's a little bit of a pella on the Shulchan Aruch. It's funny because the context of the Shulchan Aruch that you have to have bosa v'yayin at the Purim Suda is taka not vis-a-vis the Suda proper. When it comes to the Suda, the Shulchan Aruch just writes, right, you have a Suda. Sit down, you have a Suda, whatever the Suda means. Doesn't tell you exactly what you need at the Suda. But there's the one comment in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Purim where he talks about an Onein. And an Onein is someone who just lost one of his close relatives and the Kfura hasn't happened yet. So normally an Onein is also a bosa v'yayin. That's the Gemara at the beginning of the third Pech of Maseches Brachas, that Chazal made it takara that an Onein is not allowed to bosa v'yayin, because that's going to interfere with this kavura. He's supposed to be dealing with the kavura. Not supposed to be sitting down having parties right now. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that if somebody has an onen on Purim, so we could have bosa v'yayin. Why? So the Shulchan Aruch writes because the mitzvah shel rabim of bosa v'yayin, the mitzvah sudas Purim, overrides the surim of aninus. So that's the only place the Shulchan Aruch says beferish yet the bosa on sudas Purim. Whereas it doesn't say chayev other machal bosa b'purim. Lamaisa, he quotes that shita that when mata the yisra of bosa for noinein, so for shteitzach, there has to be a chiva. There's no chiva bosa at the Purim Suda. So why should we tell the yearning to violate what would otherwise be an yisra? So the bottom line is that the Rambam is clear, you have to have bosa v'yayin, and Shulchan Aruch is by extension also true. We don't quite understand how that sits with the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Yomtiv. But the bottom line is, Allah Lamaisa, We assume you have to have Vasavi Yayin at the Purim Suda. If you have to wash for the Purim Suda, so strangely enough, the Rambam doesn't say that. Shavuot doesn't say that. We're not sure whether you have to actually wash. Some Acharim say, of course you have to wash. You can fill any Suda without washing. Another Acharim say, Vishtei Tazon, doesn't say that you have to have a wash for Suda. So Suda's mitzvah, you have Vasavi Yayin, that's good enough. So how many is that we try to wash them? We wash for Purim Suda, we have Vasavi Yayin, etc. What constitutes bosa for the purposes of Sudas Purim? So if the model is based on Yontif, so this is Tali on the Machlekes HaPoskim, whether it has to be Besar Behema. So there are many Poskim who claim that if the whole Mokah for bosa is derived from Besar Shlomim, Besar Shlomim was Dafka Besar Behema, so then maybe chicken, turkey, maybe those things are no good for flesh and Yontif, maybe by extension they're no good for the Purim Sudas as well. And others say no. Others say if it's called bosa for Bas Bechol, other areas of Halacha, so it's considered to be enough of a bosa for these purposes as well. So yesh v'yesh. There's some more machmir to make sure to have a little piece of real meat, you know, real makoy, real flesh, to fulfill both Simchas Yontif and as well as the Purim Suda. What constitutes yayin for the purposes of the Purim Suda? So here we know that in other areas of Allah, let's say, if it's Kiddush, if it's Abdullah, so we assume that grape juice is the same as wine. That's the Farshi Gemara in Masechet Baba Basra. You can make Kiddush on grape juice, just taking grapes and squeeze it and make your Kiddush on it. You have to squeeze before Shabbos. Gemara says, Sochen Adam Eshkol Shanav and Be'omer Alav Kiddush Ayayim. So it doesn't have to be alcoholic in order to be, I'd say, Kiddush. So here one could argue, that's true for Kiddush purposes, but I'd say for Simcha purposes, so V'yayin Yisabach Levan Henosh, so that's not because it's halachli wine, that's because it's alcoholic. So one could argue that maybe both for Simchas Yom Tov as well as for Simchas Purim, maybe grape juice wouldn't be enough. So that was a big machlokes. So Shlomo Zalman didn't say like that. He thought that grape juice would be good, and not everyone agreed to that. It's like Moshe has a similar thing about Adal Kaisis. We'll talk about this in the next year, at the Pesach Shur. Moshe said that grape juice is good for Kiddush, but Avdol, it's not good for Adal Kaisis, because Adal Kaisis is an additional component of Cheirus. So whenever there's an added component to something, so you have to see whether that particular beverage is going to do the trick. So the bottom line is that some say it has to be literally alcoholic, and some say it doesn't necessarily. So then the Gemara has a whole discussion, the first Bechel Masechas Megillah, how much wine one is supposed to drink on Purim. So it's in that context that the Gemara has the comment that Chayv Al Mesuvi Purad Lo Yada. The Gemara has that very, very cryptic, mystical line about the drinking on Purim Ad Lo Yada. So there is a big Machlekes in Rishonim whether we even pass like that line. Why should we not pass like that line? Because the Gemara tells a story a minute later about Rav and Rabbi Zeira that they followed that and then wasn't such a good outcome. So it's not clear exactly what happened, but something bad happened in that Purim Suda. So come some Rishonim and say, but the fact that the Gemara contrasts the statement to the story is coming to teach us that the Maskaras of Gemara is not to do what it says. We don't pass like Ad Lo Yada. That's what the Rabbi Ephraim, some of the Rishonim tell. And even those Rishonim who quoted the Gemara about Ad Lo Yada, so many Rishonim say that Chazal, it's not shaykh that they meant that literally, Babish Hashem gets stone drunk, it's what you're talking about, because getting drunk is something which is Issa Gom all year long, it's something that Chazal speak in very, very negative terms about, and Psukim, for Russian, and throughout Tanakh, they speak about the terrible, terrible dangers of wine, and therefore it doesn't make any sense that Chazal would have been Misake, and that a person should put himself into a situation where he can't dava, can't bench, he can't do mitzvahs, he's going to do averus, he's going to be all kind of preachers, all kind of terrible things that happen from getting drunk. So therefore it must be that when Chazal said Ad Lo Yada, they didn't literally mean Mamash Rabash Ad Lo Yada. That's the view that the Ramot takes. The Ramot quotes Yisharim who say Ad Lo Yada means that you drink a little bit more than you usually drink and you get a little shtickle tired, you get a little tipsy, a little something, and then you go to sleep. So when you go to sleep, so then you're shining your Ad Lo Yada or Hamun Baruch Mancha, and that's good enough. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes to the people got, and that's how we accept the halachim. So that's the clear cut halacha lemais, no shadows whatsoever. And the Mishnah Berurah, we always follow that. Every other sifkot the Mishnah Berurah, we always follow the Mishnah Berurah. Look at a Ram, it's every Ramah to the T. Everything we follow. And here, because all the Gedalia poskim say that you're not really supposed to get drunk, so somehow got lost in the shuffle. So lemais said the Mishnah Berurah paskins that there's a Mishnah Berurah. You don't want to learn the Mishnah Berurah. So Mishnah Berurah here is that you're not supposed to get drunk. But Mishnah Berurah says you're chayin royal hayris. You're supposed to just tell people to follow the Ramah, just drink a little bit more than they used to, and hopefully that's not too much. And they should just yiradim, they should just fall asleep from the wine. There is a question about the timing of this idea of Ad Lo Yada, because the Rambam's mashmos is that the drinking is supposed to take place in the Derech HaSuda, it's supposed to be part of the Suda. So how exactly is that going to play out? So let's say if a person has a Suda at 10 o'clock in the morning, he has a Suda, then he falls asleep, so he's Ad Lo Yada on Purim itself. Many people don't have the Suda until later in the day. So there are different reasons why that meeting developed. Why is it that many people have the Suda 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, or only have it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? So some say it was just technicality because people just didn't have enough time to finish their shalach manas with those of Yayinim. But others say that it should schlep into the month of Simchah to schlep into Shushan Purim night. think we spoke about this. No, did we talk about this? Did you mention this? No? Yeah, okay. But some say that that the problem is this time of year, so I've been saying Shurim about Chos Purim in 15 different places. I first don't remember what I said where. So it's a shtickle ad loyana. So the some say that the reason for the minig in the Ashkenazi community is that we usually have a late place Purim Suda, is that it schlep a little bit into Shushan Purim. So some raise the question, so what's going to happen? Is that guy's going to sit down an hour before Shkia, he's going to have a Suda, and then when's he going to take this nap? In the middle of the Suda. So, or is he going to take his nap after he benches at night? He's going to fall asleep at 6:30 at night. So it's ready after Shkia. So how does he fulfill Adla Yada? So there were two different approaches to this. There were some who said that you don't literally have to be falling asleep to fulfill Adla Yada. You have to drink enough to put you to sleep. It's a shear, so it's a brisk shatar in the shear of drinking. You have to have a shear of how much you make you fall asleep. It doesn't mean you have to literally mamish fall asleep on Purim proper. Another said, no, you have to mamish fall asleep to reach the point, to reach the stage of Adla Yada. So how do you time it? So some want to argue that there are maybe two different cubim here. The Megillah speaks about Yimei Mishtim and Simcha. So Simcha is like Simchas Yontif. So part of Simchas Yontif requires wine. So you have to have a Siddhis Purim, you have to have a little bit of wine to Siddhis Purim. But then there's another bit of Yimei Mishtim Siddh. So that shear of Adla Yada, whatever you think that shear means, Ramah's definition, that's not tied to the Suda. So you can mamish split between the two. So you can have, let's say, 11 o'clock in the morning, you can take yourself a cup of wine and fall asleep for a half hour. So you eat to the din of Adla Yada. And then you'll have you have a revius of wine later in the day. When you have your Suda, so you have a revius. Revius is the shear of Yontif. So you don't necessarily have to have the Adla Yada in the context of the Suda. So you have to have Yayin Besef Suda, but Yemei Mishtik Siv, not necessarily the Suda. So Yesh V'Yesh, different opinions about this. So whatever Eitzah you decide how to fulfill Adla Yada, you should follow the Ramah and try to tailor make it how it works into your schedule problem. Okay, good. So bottom line is we have the Suda, and the Pesukim say that you should really have the Suda maybe a Yom. And I suppose some people, they wash 2 minutes before Shkia and they have the whole Suda at night. That's not right. The Suda is supposed to be basically maybe a Yom. You could schlep into Shushan Purim. So you have the boss of the Yayin, the main part, the main thrust of the Suda should be Biyad Yom. And then the Shiraim a little bit. You have a nice dessert after dark, and that's your Simcha on Shushan Purim. Because you started the Suda, because you ate the Suda Biyad Yom, you could bench, you could still say Al Hanisim. Unless you daven Ma'ariv. Some people, they make this mistake. There's like an early Ma'ariv, something they run to Ma'ariv, and then they come back to finish the Suda. The problem is, you're ready to daven Ma'ariv, so you're ready maybe the next day, then you can't say Al-Nisim anymore, so you should try not to do that. One cannot fulfill the Suda's Purim the night before. I think it was Beferish, Suda's Purim Shasabalai Le'yotso. Even though the night is the Purim, but it's not the Yimei Mishtim, so it's not to fulfill the Nitzayon, it has to be Dafka Mimi Odiyom. When Purim falls out on Friday, then it gets complicated. There are different minhagim about how to perform the Suda. The Ramah writes to make the Suda in the morning, and others have the minhag to it late in the afternoon, and the first pass from Makadosh is already complicated. Cheshbonos. The way our calendar works out, it very rarely falls out that way for the Neitz as well. For Shushan Purim, very often falls out on a Friday, but regular Purim, it just did be a couple of years ago, but it's not that common that it falls out on a Friday. Okay, good. In addition to the bits of Suda's Purim, the other two other mitzvahs that Chazal and Misaken, and they may both be linked to Suda's Purim. One is Mishloach Manus. So the pasuk says the Megillah Mishloach Manus is Torah. So you have to give two manus to one person. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that the basic thrust of the mitzvah Mishloach Manus was to help provide everybody with Suda's Purim. You want to make sure that even the rich, the poor, everybody ends up with the Suda's Purim. And Rav Shlomo Al-Kabetz was the brother-in-law of the Ari HaKadosh. He lived in Tzfat at the same time. He was one who wrote the Chadoidi. So he wrote a Perush on the Megillah Esther called Manas HaLevi. So in his Sefer Manas HaLevi, he gives a different twist. He says that the idea of Mishloach Manas was Lahabas Reyes Peklal Yisrael. It was just simply to get people happy and friendly and joyful on Purim. But it wasn't necessarily geared towards the Suda. So before you can have a couple of Nafkaminas Ladina between the two. Let's say, for example, there's a Shal that Pelsky. Let's say I bring somebody Mishloach Manas and then Meichel on the Mishloach Manas. Say, it's all right, I have enough for it. It's 5 o'clock, you have to another year enough. I got 3,000 Hamadash and 400 bottles of wine on it anymore. So, and that was my own Mishloach Manas I was going to bring. So the Shal was like, yeah, it's here now. So someone argued that if the whole goal was just the Harpas Reyes, I was Mamba Reyes. So I extended myself, I showed that I want to bring you a nice Mishloach Manas and you declined. So I bring you, I said, take on the Mishloach Manas. And whereas according to Tzadash, that the goal is I have to give you something you can eat. You need it, you can't eat Mechila. Have to be a real lamb to eat mechila. So I didn't give you anything, so you can't. Even if you, there's some quote of Rash. There's a Rash in Mishnayis in Maseches Trumas that says that by tashlumei truma, if a guy ate truma b'shogeg, so you have to give the value to a kohen and eat a chomesh. It has to be dafkin fruit. You don't give cash value. You have to give fruit value to what you ate. So the Mishnah says that the Kohen can't be Moichel on Tashlumei Truma. So there's Machlokes of Yishanim, why not? So Taisus writes in Ksubas, because you can't be Moichel on Tashlumei Kapara. And the Rash gives a different reason. The Rash in Mishnaya says that you can't be Moichel when there's a Tzuris at Tashlumei. Since if the Chiv would be just in cash, so then I can be Moichel on the cash. But it's not a din of cash. You have to give this very specific thing. You have to give Dafka fruit, you got to give grapes. So Mechila can't serve as a fulfillment of something when there's a specific manner in what the Tashlumei has to take. Some want to say that Meshalach Manas also, it's not a chi of giving $20 to a guy for Shalach, I have to give him dafka food. So they have to give him food. So it means Mechila is not food. So Mechila can't serve as a mechanism for the fulfillment of Meshalach Manas. So Yesh V'Yesh, whether you could be, I'd say, with Mechila. This idea that Tumas Adeshen, that Shalach Manas is linked to the Suda, this could create a whole array of different chumras. Let's say I give something to somebody that it's not shaykh when it's used in the Suda. It's not even in the ballpark to use such thing at the Suda. Why can't he use it at the Suda? Because it's a late Thomas. I gave him a piece of bubblegum and a raisin. So what kind of Suda is he going to make out of that? It doesn't mean that he has to serve it at the Suda. It doesn't mean I have to give Mamash Basa the Ayin. I can give him other things that he puts away for Pesach also. But it has to be something that in theory you can put together. You can use this at the Suda. So because of that concern, some poskim don't like these very, very cheapy kinds of shalach manas. So what some people do is they make sure to give one real mechubad to give shalach manas. One real kedas for this, only the person can mamash mamash use. And the other cheapy ones to fulfill all the themes of shalach manas, so you can give the theme shalach manas you give to other people. But the real mekor shalach manas, so that should be something that's mamash royal. Some of these are chashulchan that claims that he thinks that's the halacha. They have to at least chut something that's a little royal kach. Let's say you give shalach manas to somebody and you know they're not going to eat it. Let's say you give cake to somebody and you know the person's machmir in yoshan. It's not necessarily yoshan. So you know they're not going to eat it. Let's say you give somebody milk. It could be icy milk, shalach manas. You could theoretically use the suda. You eat the milk first, I think the flavors after. So I give him a milchik dish, but it's not chomis yom. I know he's machmir in chomis yom. So I know for a fact it's not going to eat it. Let's say I give a guy something, gluten, gluten intolerance. You have situations where you know for sure the guy's not going to use it. So that's the question. If you hold it to Tumas Adeshen, that's the whole goal is supposed to be suda oriented, and I know from Mitchila that he's not going to eat it. So that's a question. Please can talk about this. Let's say you give Shalach Manas to a very, very rich person, something that's beneath his dignity. He's not Shaykh, he's going to use such a thing. So maybe it's also a question. It's also a chashash, maybe not yet, since you have to try at least one Shalach Manas. Should be Kedas for the whole day, shouldn't be any big pukim on it. When it comes to Shalach Manas, so the din is you have to give Shnei Minim. You can't just take a piece of chicken and cut it in half. You have to give two different kinds of foods. So they do not have to be two different brachas. The Rambam writes that Shnei Minim Bosu is also good. Unless we check all Bosu, you make Shahak alone. So there's a myth. Somebody made up, some kindergarten teacher, someone made up this myth that you have to give two different brachas. As long as it's two different Minim, so that's good enough. Most of the poskim assume you can give a mashke instead of an ochel. There's a Rabbi Chananel that doesn't say that. There are some rochashish for that, but the Mishnah Berurah doesn't even quote. Mishnah Berurah quotes the most of the possible assume that a mashke is considered to be dinuk ha'echos v'amirachah ha'pshat. The Gemara in the first part of Megillah against the other Rishon, and it turns out the Maisi can't be yet with a bottle of wine. But most don't follow that practice. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Binyan Sion, who had a suffix about can you fulfill the mitzvah Mishloach Manas if you don't do it initially. A very modern thing. Usually, either you do mitzvah yourself or you give it on the shaliach. We never heard of such a mitzvah, it has to be dafka initially. So the Rabbeinu Tzion has a suffix, it says, Mishloach Manas Yisrael. Rabbeinu Tzion was Rabbi Yochlaner. He was Yaakov Ettlinger. He was the Rebbe of Rav Shem Shofar Hirsch. He was a Rav in Germany in the 1800s. There's a family Ettlinger who lives on the other side of the Heights. So they're Ben Achaben from Yaakov Ettlinger. So he has a suffix in the Tshuva's Rabbeinu Tzion about the reason why he called the Tshuva's Rabbeinu Tzion was because the first Tshuva was sent to him by Rav Tzirish Kalisha. Tzirish Kalisha was a Rav in the 1800s in Europe that he decided he's going to get everyone together, we're going to go back there to Israel, we're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, stuff bring Kabbalah again. He had this grandiose plan, way, way before Zionism. He had this grandiose plan that they're going to go back there to Israel. How are they going to get to the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash belonged to the Turks. The Beis HaMikdash was under Turkish control. So he convinced the Rothschild family that they were going to buy out the Sultan, the Turkish Sultan, and we paid enough money to rent out the rights to come up to the Mahmur Mikdash. So he had the money raised, and he had this, he had everything, well, like Kabbalah plans. And he decided before he put this into practice, he should ask the Gedolah, he was a Chashmarov, Tzirish Chashmarov was a Rav in Europe, but he know, there were other Gedolim who he felt he had to consult with. So he sent Shuvas to Rav Kivay, he sent Shalos to Rav Kivay, get some Sefer and Derech Lener, a few others. So we have those Shuvas that were written back to Tzurish Kalasha. So Yaakov Ettlinger in the Binyan Tzion, he printed that as his first Shuvah in the Sefer. So the whole Shuvah was about Binyan Tzion, so he named the Shuvah Shalos Shuvas Binyan Tzion. So it's a fascinating Shuvah. At the end of the day, most of the Gedolim had certain pikpukim and certain hesitations about the plan. And they're back and forth, a little bit of hesitations were real, not real, whatever it was. And at the end of the day, the whole plan flopped because with all the money that Rothschild put up, they went to the Sultan. The Sultan said, go jump in the lake. The Makom Mikdash is not for sale. We're not renting out the Makom Mikdash to you guys. So the whole plan fell through. Anyway, so it was not the first time in history that happened. In the days of Balei Taisus, a group of Balei Taisus moved to Eretz Yisrael, and they also had this grandiose plan that they were going to go start to bring Karbanos again, and it also flopped. We're not exactly sure what went wrong then. Probably the Crusades went wrong, but whatever went wrong, it didn't work. So we're still ready to be able to make it. But in those tshuvas, we didn't see it, so he has a suffix about whether you have to give Shalach Malas Dafka Nishalech. So at the end of the Tshuva, he writes, he doesn't think you really have to. But Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote the end of the Tshuva. Mishnah Berurah just quotes this topic of the Nitzion about the Shaila. He leaves it hanging that maybe it is a bona fide suffix. That's what some people are mocked with, that they won't give the Shalach Malas themselves, or at least one of the Shalach Malas, they'll be Yetzir Dafka Nishalech. So they usually have these Yeshivish Chumra that I'm standing right next to a guy, I want to give Shalach Malas. He says, wait, I can't give it to you. I bring in another guy to hand it to you, the 3 inches he should carry it to. He should be your official Shalach. So some are mocked with that. And the Rabbi writes it, he thinks the whole thing is not true. No, the Lord is going to be no such mitzvah, no, never heard of it. Gemara doesn't have the Ram, the Shulchan Aruch. No one ever heard such a thing. They have to give Shulchan Aruch. Dafka the Shulich, Lo Shemana the Vazem Yolam. So the Ikra did is the whole thing is not true. But Mishnah Berurah quotes it as a possibility, so it became a very popular possibility in some circles. Anyway, back to this story. So you have to fulfill the mitzvah of Shulchan Aruch, and just as you made Mishnah B'Simcha, Mishnah Aruch is Reim, Matos of Yolam. All the mitzvahs of Yom have to be performed by Yom, so therefore you have to give a Shulchan Aruch by Yom. So if you give a Shulchan Aruch the night before, you know, you're a lot of people, they bring the Shulchan Aruch to Shul for a night, they want to get a jump start on the Shulchan Aruch, so that's cute, but that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is only by Yom. And in addition to Shulchan Aruch, Chazal Masachim, the Tanuf Lev Yoinim. So Matanus Lev Yoinim, unlike Shulchan Aruch, you have to give Shulchan Aruch, it's 2 things to one person when it comes to Matanus Lev Yoinim. So it's all about one thing I forgot to mention with maybe Shulchan Aruch, it's most possible to say that's something that's Roy Lachil and Yad. The Netziv has a big chiddush. The Netziv says, based on a pasuk, because this is Parsha, that it's called, even the raw food, the raw meat that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's called the mana. So the Netziv says you give a raw chicken also. And most of the pasuk, the Shabur, assumes not the way, most of the pasuk, assumes it has to be said, it's right here. Back to Matanus of Yainim, so unlike Shalach Manas, Matanus of Yainim is two matanas to two, one matana to this Evyan, one matana to the other Evyan, and after, that's the way I'm going to be Yaitzek. How much do you have to give for Matanas Levionim? So some possible seem to say it's like tzedakah, so you give a pruta. You want to give more, but you don't really have to give more than a pruta. And others say no, that maybe the whole goal of Matanas Levionim was to be able to, the Ani should have food for a suda, wants to be able to buy with the pruta. So some are makbid that you have to give the amount of money that's right the suda. How much is right the suda? So you got to go into the store and find out. Anyone knows? Well, let's say you walk into a store today in Moshe Nights, how much does it cost the cheapest piece of meat? So say the hamburger, hot dog, how much does hot dog cost? And the calf, how much do you have? $4.50 for hot dog. Still, $4.50 with that. That's with a bun.
Yeah.
You get your hot dog and a bun. So it's a kizayis of bosa, kizayis of challah. And let's say a bottle. What's the cheapest kind of bottle of wine out there? $10. Let's say so. The cheapest bottle of wine. So the cheapest bottle of wine. How many ounces do they have in a bottle of wine? It's at least 4 cups. I know the seder. I go through one. You knock out one bottle per seder. And my coats are bigger than most people's. Most people's are reviews. So there's got to, so you can get it. So let's say if it's $10 for a whole bottle of wine, so a Revius of wine is going to be, let's say, $2.50. So what do you say, $4.50? So it's $4.50 for $2.50, so it's $8. So $8 is probably good enough for a matana for one, $10. So you have $10 per Evian, so stuff that should still be okay. A few people asked me to shy, I got two people asked the same shout today, they texted me about how much Matanas Levionim is this year because of the price increases, because of inflation. So everything went up. So okay, so to find out how much it goes. So you tell me that's $4.50, $4.50, $2.50, $8. Good to go. Okay. The din is that Matanas Levionim have to be given out on Purim Day. So this makes very life difficult. A lot of people don't have Levionim running around on Purim Day to give the money to. So they want to set up systems from beforehand. So the din is you can set the system up as long as the Atchker and the Nesina is done by Yodim. So the Nesina has to be done in the daylight hours of Purim itself. So this becomes very complicated when you have money being distributed in Eretz Yisrael. I wrote a check. I zeld money to Eretz Yisrael Tzedakah last week. And that money is supposed to be distributed on Purim proper. So there are twofold questions using Eretz Yisrael. There's a general question of, can I use Matras of Yonim in Yerushalayim? Because Yerushalayim is on Tezvav, but I'm a Yedala guy. So Matras of Yonim given out on Tezvav, is that going to work for me? So that's question number one. That's not 100% clear. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman was making on that. Not everyone agreed to that. The second question is, let's say even if we use your dollar purse, let's say if they're distributing the Matras of Yonim at 10 o'clock in the morning, it's 3 o'clock in the morning for me, it's in the middle of the night. So that's no good for me, Lechora. If the money is not being distributed on a day that's my Purim by Yom. So that's why many of these tough organizations, including the one you probably just heard, Rabbi Einstein came today, he was floating around today. So Rabbi Einstein is a very, very chashuv old tough organization. We've been working together with him I've personally worked with him already for decades. He's been around for many, many years in Yeshiva. So his organization is tailor-made in such a way that the money is distributed at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and on your dollar days. It's not... They don't give the money to Yerushalayim. They do Lo Chasir Niv and other places also in Eretz Yisrael. They deliver it to the Yandala people at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Eretz Yisrael time, which is 7 o'clock in the morning New York time, which is very after Netzachama. If you live in California, you want to be Yad Sitzi, you have to figure out a different time, you have to figure out a different mechanism. But that particular organization will distribute the money at Kedas or Chadin. So in many organizations today, you have to just check if you want them to be the ones to be Yad Sitzi, you want to understand the end with it. Amram writes that one should try to spend more money on Matas of Yom than on Mishloach Manos. So you can cut down the themes a little bit on Mishloach Manos, try to spend the extra money that you have on Matas of Yom. That's much, much more important. Purim is considered to be Yimei Mishnah and Simcha. There are days of Simcha. So therefore, a lot of things we don't do on Purim. We don't fast on Purim, but we don't have a spadim on Purim. And there's a big machlokes in Mishnah whether this is Avelis on Purim. So the Ramah Paskins, that's what the Minig, most of the Ashkenaz communities is today, the Ramah Paskins, that there's no Avel Shefa Hesyon Purim. It's like, kind of like Shabbos, that it counts towards the days of Shiva, but there's no public manifestation of Avelis. So therefore the Avelim wear the shoes on Purim, and they sit in the regular chairs on Purim, they do regular things on Purim, they have the Suda, but it does count towards Avelis. But Ramah Shabbat Sin, the private things of Avelis, those things would be knowing the same as on Shabbos. And the Ramah says that's true both for Yadal and for Tezvav, even though we don't do the Mitzvah Yom on Tezvav, but Tezvav is still a Yom Simcha for us. That's why you're not allowed to fast on Shushan Purim, and you're not allowed to have a spade in Shushan Purim. We don't say Tachan on Shushan Purim, we don't say Matzeach, we don't say all the things that are associated with the real heavy-duty day of Simcha. So Shushan Purim is the same as Yadal, and vice versa. Yadal for the Nei HaKorachim would be the same thing as well. There are a lot of complicated sugyas in terms of the Bnei Yudal and the Tezvav. Again, most of us, we live here, so we don't have too many Tezvav people. Those who live in Eretz Yisrael also have complicated sugyas about the Bnei Yudal and the Tezvav. So you have to figure out which day you belong to, whichever day you belong to, so you fulfill your mitzvahs on that particular day. Every once in a while, you get when you have Shushan Purim on Shabbos, and then you get this Purim Shula story. So the Megillah is read on Friday, that's Beferish, and the Matanas of Yom is divided up on Friday, that's also Beferish. Everything else is not Beferish. So there's a big machlek, there's a place, and when is the Suda? So some say the Suda is on Shabbos, that's the day of Purim Pratos, that's the day when you have your Suda. And others say, no, the Suda is pushed off until Sunday, so there are different halachos about that. So there are many in Eretz Yisrael, they have both. So they have their Purim Suda together with the Shabbos Suda also on Shabbos. And they have a Nochah Suda on Sunday as well. From our Tov Mishnah Talmud, as the Ramah writes, the Ramah signs off at the end of Erech Chaim. He quotes the Machlokes and Rishonim about Purim Kotlin. We have Rishonim Uberes. Is there any idea of having a Suda, a little bit of a Suda on Purim Kotlin? It's Machlokes and Rishonim about that. So the Ramah writes that Tov Mishnah Talmud. So you're in a good mood. You have a lot of Sudas. You have Sudas on your Dalat as well. Purim Kotlin, Purim Kotlin. All Sudas, we shall be happy moods. Okay, good. All right, we'll stop for now. Hopefully, Hashem. So next week, so we'll begin Hech Spesef. All right? Everyone will be around next Wednesday. Regularly, Shiva, Shusha, Purim. Good. Okay, hopefully, we'll begin Hech Spesef next week. Okay.
What about